Hi, and welcome back. This is the LifeSpring Family Bible, episode number 327. Today, we're going to do something I don't think we've done thus far. We're going to read three complete books, but that's okay. They fit within our allotted space. So let's begin. Philemon chapter 1, from Paul, a minister of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-laborer, to Apphias, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. I have had great joy and encouragement because of your love, for the hearts of the saints has been refreshed through you, brother. So, although I have quite a lot of confidence in Christ and could command you to do what is proper, I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. I, Paul, an old man, and even now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus, I am appealing to you concerning my child, whose spiritual father I have become during my imprisonment, that is, Onesimus, who was formerly useless to you, but is now useful to you and me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him so that he could serve me in your place during my imprisonment for the sake of the gospel. However, without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your good deed would not be out of compulsion, but from your own willingness. For perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated from you for a little while, so that you would have him back eternally, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a dear brother. He is especially so to me, and even more so to you now, both humanly speaking and in the Lord. Therefore, if you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. Now if he has defrauded you of anything or owes you anything, charge what he owes to me. I, Paul, have written this letter with my own hand. I will repay it. I could also mention that you owe me your very self. Yes, brother, let me have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, since I was confident that you would obey. I wrote to you because I knew that you would do even more than what I am asking you to do. At the same time also, prepare a place for me to stay, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given back to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-laborers, greet you too. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Obadiah chapter 1. The vision that Obadiah saw. The Lord God says this concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord. An envoy was sent among the nations, saying, "Arise, let us make war against Edom." The Lord says, "Look, I will make you a weak nation. You will be greatly despised. Your presumptuous heart has deceived you, you who reside in the safety of the rocky cliffs, whose home is high in the mountains. You think to yourself, 'No one can bring me down to the ground.' Even if you were to soar high like an eagle, even if you were to make your nest among the stars, I can bring you down even from there," says the Lord. If thieves come to rob you during the night, they would steal only as much as they wanted. If grape pickers came to harvest your vineyards, they would leave some behind for the poor, but you will be totally destroyed. How the people of Esau will be thoroughly plundered. Their hidden valuables will be ransacked. All your allies will force you from your homeland. Your treaty partners will deceive you and overpower you. Your trusted friends will set an ambush for you that will take you by surprise. At that time, the Lord says, I will destroy the wise sages of Edom, the advisors from Esau's mountain. Your warriors will be shattered, O Teman, so that everyone will be destroyed from Esau's mountain. Because you violently slaughtered your relatives, the people of Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be destroyed forever. You stood aloof while strangers took his army captive, and foreigners advanced to his gates. When they cast lots over Jerusalem, you behaved as though you were in league with them. You should not have gloated when your relatives suffered calamity. You should not have rejoiced over the people of Judah when they were destroyed. You should not have boasted when they suffered adversity. You should not have entered the city of my people when they experienced distress. You should not have joined in gloating over their misfortune when they suffered distress. You should not have looted their wealth when they endured distress. You should not have stood at the fork in the road to slaughter those trying to escape.
You should not have captured their refugees when they suffered adversity. For the day of the Lord is approaching for all the nations. Just as you have done, so it will be done to you. You will get exactly what your deeds deserve. For just as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink, and they will gulp down. They will be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there will be a remnant of those who escape, and it will be a holy place once again. The descendants of Jacob will conquer those who had conquered them. The descendants of Jacob will be a fire, and the descendants of Joseph a flame. The descendants of Esau will be like stubble. They will burn them up and devour them. There will not be a single survivor of the descendants of Esau. Indeed, the Lord has spoken it. The people of the Negev will take possession of Esau's mountain, and the people of the Shephelah will take possession of the land of the Philistines. They will also take possession of the territory of Ephraim and the territory of Samaria, and the people of Benjamin will take possession of Gilead. The exiles of this fortress of the people of Israel will take possession of what belongs to the people of Canaan, as far as Zarephath. And the exiles of Jerusalem, who are in Sepharad, will take possession of the towns of the Negev. Those who have been delivered will go up on Mount Zion in order to rule over Esau's mountain. Then the Lord will reign as king. Jonah chapter 1. The Lord said to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go immediately to Nineveh, that large capital city, and announce judgment against its people because their wickedness has come to my attention." Instead, Jonah immediately headed off to Tarshish to escape from the commission of the Lord. He traveled to Joppa and found a merchant ship heading to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went aboard it to go with them to Tarshish, far away from the Lord. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind on the sea. Such a violent tempest rose on the sea that the ship threatened to break up. The soldiers were so afraid that each cried out to his own god, and they flung the ship's cargo overboard to make the ship lighter. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold below deck, had lain down, and was sound asleep. The ship's captain approached him and said, "What are you doing asleep? Get up, cry out to your god. Perhaps your god might take notice of us so that we might not die." The soldiers said to one another, "Come on, let's cast lots to find out whose fault it is that this disaster has overtaken us." So they cast lots, and Jonah was singled out. They said to him, "Tell us, whose fault is it that this disaster has overtaken us? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country, and who are your people?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Hearing this, the men became even more afraid and said to him, "What have you done?" The men said this because they knew that he was trying to escape from the Lord, because he had previously told them. Because the storm was growing worse and worse, they said to him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea to make the sea quiet down, because I know it's my fault you were in this severe storm." Instead, they tried to row back to land, but they were not able to do so because the storm kept growing worse and worse. So they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, please, Lord, don't let us die on account of this man. Don't hold us guilty of shedding innocent blood. After all, you, Lord, have done just as you pleased." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. The men feared the Lord greatly and earnestly vowed to offer lavish sacrifices to the Lord. Jonah chapter 2. The Lord sent a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish and said, "I called out to the Lord from my distress, and he answered me. From the belly of Sheol I cried out for help, and you heard my prayer. You threw me into the deep waters, into the middle of the sea. The ocean current engulfed me. All the mighty waves you sent swept over me. I thought I had been banished from your sight, that I would never again see your holy temple. Water engulfed me up to my neck. The deep ocean surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. I went down to the very bottoms of the mountains. The gates of the netherworld barred me in forever. But you brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I called out to the Lord, and my prayer came to your holy temple. Those who worship worthless idols forfeit the mercy that could be theirs. But as for me, I promise to offer sacrifice to you with a public declaration of praise. I will surely do what I have promised. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it disgorged Jonah on dry land. Jonah chapter 3. The Lord said to Jonah a second time, Go immediately to Nineveh, that large city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah went immediately to Nineveh, as the Lord had said. Now Nineveh was an enormous city. It required 3 days to walk through it. When Jonah began to enter the city one day's walk, he announced, "At the end of 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown." The people of Nineveh believed in God, and they declared a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat on ashes. He issued a proclamation and said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, no human or animal, cattle or sheep, is to taste anything. They must not eat, and they must not drink water. Every person and animal must put on sackcloth and must cry earnestly to God, and everyone must turn from their evil way of living and from the violence that they do. Who knows, perhaps God might be willing to change his mind and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we might not die." When God saw their actions, they turned from their evil way of living, God relented concerning the judgment he had threatened them with, and he did not destroy them. Jonah chapter 4. This displeased Jonah terribly, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, this is just what I thought would happen when I was in my own country. This is what I tried to prevent by attempting to escape to Tarshish, because I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and one who relents concerning threatened judgment. So now, Lord, kill me instead, because I would rather die than live." The Lord said, "Are you really so very angry?" Jonah left the city and sat down east of it. He made a shelter for himself there and sat down under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. The Lord God appointed a little plant and caused it to grow up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to rescue him from his misery. Now Jonah was very delighted about the little plant. So God sent a worm at dawn the next day, and it attacked the little plant so that it dried up. When the sun began to shine, God sent a hot east wind. So the sun beat down on Jonah's head, and he grew faint. So he despaired of life and said, "I would rather die than live." God said to Jonah, "Are you really so very angry about the little plant?" And he said, "I am as angry as I could possibly be." The Lord said, "You are upset about this little plant, something for which you have not worked, nor did you do anything to make it grow. It grew up overnight and died the next day. Should I not be even more concerned about Nineveh, this enormous city? There are more than 120,000 people in it who do not know right from wrong, as well as many animals." Don't you just love Jonah? Oh, what a cranky old guy. I just knew that was going to happen. I knew you were going to forgive Nineveh. But it's a good lesson, isn't it? God is a God of mercy. If we turn from our evil ways, he will forgive us. We know that. And of course, because of the blood of Jesus, we're already forgiven. But still, when we sin, he wants us to ask for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive. So I love the book of Jonah. Well, I'll bet you thought we couldn't do it. We read through 3 complete books today. Tomorrow we'll read about a book and a half. We'll read Jude and then the first 5 chapters of Micah. I'll see you then. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.